take a look at Jesus and what he meant the church to be. And then we'll continue to take a look at how the church imitated Jesus. In Ephesians 2, in verse 19, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." You know, this passage tells us that God sent Jesus to change the world. Well, why is that? Because what happened is when Jesus came and he led the apostles and he led the early followers that he had in the Bible, in the Gospels, it covers this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those people went on to be Christians, as we know the term today, and they built everything in the church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the New Testament. And I believe they built it on the Old Testament as well, because the Bible of the first Christians and the Bible of Jesus was the Old Testament. So it's the whole Bible. But then he adds something here, that the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Now, a cornerstone at that time, it was the stone that was used to provide the measurements for building all the rest of whatever dwelling or whatever building was being built. If the cornerstone was off, then the whole building would be off. In order to build God's church today, so that it changes lives, so that it brings people together, so that it makes an impact on social things that are bad and brings social justice to the world, the key is, it's got to be Jesus that everything is measured by. If we get Jesus wrong, if we think wrong about Jesus, or if we begin to shape Jesus according to what we want him to be, then we're gonna get the building wrong, the building of the church wrong. And that's something that needs to humble all of us. Now, if you're out there and you say, I don't even really believe in all this, trust me, oftentimes the thing that turns us off about religion, about Christianity in particular, is that people like me aren't making Jesus the cornerstone and aren't making the Bible the foundation. We become consumed with our own personal preferences. We become interested and committed to our own traditions. We're unwilling to change anything because we like it the way it is. But the Bible says that there's two things that need to be in place, the foundation being God's word and the cornerstone being Jesus. So as we build with God's word, we've got to keep looking at Jesus and saying, how did Jesus live? How did Jesus treat people? How did Jesus build relationships? How did Jesus go about influencing the world? That's who we imitate, and we have the Bible there as our standard of truth and our standard of how we ought to live. It's a beautiful thing when it comes together because it changes the world. I had a friend of mine I studied the Bible with years and years ago, and he was a former Marine. And I remember getting him to read the Bible. So you got to read the Bible yourself. You just don't want to listen to me. You just don't want to go to church. You want to read the Bible yourself. And that was a hard thing. He wasn't that interested in it, but he began to read it. He came back after reading the book of Acts and he said to me, man, I have never read anything like it. He goes, book of Acts reads like a James Bond novel.
Bond. James Bond.
And I was like, that is the coolest analogy. Because a lot of times we can read the Bible with this sedate and almost religified mindset. I made that word up, I think, the religified, meaning it's full of our traditional mindset instead of us opening up and saying, there is hot action in the book of Acts. That's what Jesus wanted. He wanted a church that felt like James Bond. He wanted a church that was cool, that was daring, that was heroic. That's the kind of church he wanted, and it existed. In Acts chapter 1, he says, I want you to basically go and take the kingdom to the world. Those people went out and they formed the first church. Michael Green, in a book called 30 Years to Change the World, the book of Acts for today, he wrote this, I am fascinated by the Acts of the Apostles. It is the only account we have of how the first Christians spread and multiplied during the 30 years following the death of Jesus. What we need to understand is the original blueprint, the one laid by the original Christians, the first Christians, it's actually in the Bible. It's not in history book, it's in the Bible. And if we look at that and we put our faith into it, we can live just like them. And a church like that, well, that church changed the world in about 30 years. God sent Jesus to change the world. Jesus was not just inspiring people to follow him and walk with God, he was inspiring them to inspire others. Yes, Jesus wants us to follow him. Yes, Jesus is there to help us get a relationship with God and walk with him. But he wanted us to take all of that and then go out and inspire others. In other words, every individual Christian And every church should be inspiring. And guess what? Not just inspiring for each other. A lot of times I know in going to church, I've been going to church a long time, we can sometimes as Christians become consumed with inspiring ourselves. And we should. But we need to keep in mind that what Jesus did is he inspired the people who weren't following him. He inspired the people who didn't believe in him because that was the mission and purpose for which he existed. If you go back and look at other parts of these episodes we're putting together, I talk about Ephesians 3 and that the church is here to make known the manifold wisdom of God, all the ways in which God works in the world. And that's our job. This is a hard case, but if we're not as inspiring as Taylor Swift, we need to go back to the laboratory, go back to the chalkboard and start coming up with some new plays because we should be. We should be like a magnet for anybody who's looking for purpose, anyone who's looking for meaning, anyone who's looking for love, anyone who's looking for hope, anyone who's looking for faith, anyone who's going through a hard time, and anyone's going through a great time. We should be an inspiration to them. And in John 12:21, it says this, from this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. Isn't that inspiring? From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change, for the ruler of this dark world will be overthrown. And I will do this when I am lifted up off the ground and when I draw the hearts of people to gather them to me. He said this to indicate that he would die by being lifted up on the cross. Jesus died on a cross to change the world. He altered everything about the world. It was a power shift. Darkness was driven down and light began to become more dominant. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be living a life where every day, everything in this world's about to change. If you're someone who's out there skeptical about God, maybe you believe in God, but you don't want to go to church, understand this. Every social justice cause we want to see victory in. If you want to see African-Americans, people who are black, get justice. If you want to be able to see Latin Americans get justice. If you want to see Asians no longer have to fear that violence will take place because of misinformation. If you want any of that, if you want women to have greater respect in the workplace, greater equality, all of these things happen most significantly in the heart. Yes, we have to have laws. And Martin Luther King once said, I want laws to keep a man from lynching me, even if I can't change his heart. And that's true. But also, we as Christians need to believe that we can change that man's heart so that that man doesn't need a law because he's changed who he is. And that's how you change the world.